Let me see if I can get this right, actually. I've been on the road this week with Charles and Rickard, and we've had an amazing time. We met last week with people in the Helsingborg area and region, and we had a training like this, and there was about 40 people there. And there were some people who were there who were already involved with different forms of church. For example, there was people there that were involved in simple, organic, house-type churches. But there was also people there who were involved with established churches that wanted to see how they could bring disciple-making multiplication principles into the existing structures that they were in. Then we set off on the road and we started to meet different groups between there and here. We met two or three different simple churches that have the DNA of disciple multiplication or want to see that planted into what they're doing. And we also spoke at a Bible school where students are training to be pastors or leaders of churches and spoke about these principles. And it seems that every year that I travel, there are more and more people who are thinking like this. So that's good news. When we started 13 years ago in the UK, I didn't know anybody who was interested in these kind of things. In fact, me and myself, I didn't even know what the terms were for these kind of ideas. I didn't know anything about simple churches, house churches, church multiplication movements, disciple multiplication movements, any of these kind of phrases that we're going to be looking at this weekend. But just to say, this weekend is not going to be theory alone. It's not a knowledge-based thing. There's going to be some concepts, but by the end of this training, we really want to explore some tools that will give you guys the ability to start in the next 2 weeks something. So this is not a conference. It is a training. Like Jesus trained the 12 in Matthew 10 or the 72 in Luke 10 with instructions of how to move forward. And hopefully you'll be able to use these tools and contextualize it into your settings. So it will look different in different settings, but the principles of making disciples, multiplication and those kind of things will be discovering from Scripture. So before I talk some more, throughout the weekend, we're going to be working in teams. So teams of four or five. So at your tables, you will be working throughout the week, weekend, looking at how these principles can be applied into your settings or discovering things from Scripture that you will kind of share and discuss and then think about how you're going to put into practice. So in your tables of four and five, and unless you're at a smaller table, unless you can join a group, it would be great if you guys come and join over here. The question is, or the set of questions are, welcome guys. These are two of the guys that we met actually this last couple of days who are already involved in forming simple communities and looking to bring the DNA of multiplication into that. So welcome. Okay, welcome. If we can fill up from these tables first, and then we'll use the tables further back later. We also have some friends from Norway that we met early in the year who are also involved in this kind of disciple multiplication movement. Seeing some amazing things happening already there with people getting baptized and new communities forming. Okay, so at your tables of four or five, are you already involved in some kind of simple community or involved in a principle of disciple multiplication or movements? So discuss that. So that's one question. And within that question, the question is, what are the main questions or challenges that you are facing or have for this weekend? So what would be the main questions or challenges that you would like to explore this weekend? For those people who are not involved or don't really know what I'm talking about, the question would be, what would you like to get out of this weekend? What are the main questions or challenges that you would like to explore during this weekend? And then after, we're only going to do this for 2 minutes or so, somebody from your team share back just some of the main points, and we're going to do it really quick and succinctly. So, what questions or challenges do you have that you would like to explore during this weekend? So if you're already involved in these kind of ideas, what would be the next questions that you have? If you haven't got started, what would you like to get out of this weekend? Why have you come? Okay, go for it. Obviously, introduce yourselves.
Because they're now in groups of 4 and 5 instead of really small groups, it's actually, even though there's more people, we only have one representative from each team. So there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm trying to be purposely more succinct and quick. But if you feel like it's going, it's too succinct,
okay. Well, hello, can you hear? Okay, if you can, after the conversation you've just had, if you can formulate it into a question form. So what would be the main question or challenge? I don't know if you've already done that or picked somebody to report back on your behalf. If you haven't, quickly do that. So what would be the main question or challenge that you would like to explore during this weekend? Okay, we're ready for our first people. I'm going to type it up as we go along. Okay. Wait a minute. Are we going to use the mics? Okay, this person said, how what?
How.
Okay. How? How to boil an egg? Okay, great. How to have a missional church with discipleship as the engine. Great. Okay, next team.
We have two... we are in a situation with quite a small amount of people. We have two or three in different areas and longing to see. So it's the same how question. What do we do now? We feel like God has placed us. And then we talked a bit about how does this go to something? What's the denomination? Yeah, how does it relate to national?
Okay, so one question is, you have two or three in different places. What's the question? How does it grow?
Yeah, where do we go from there? Yeah, okay. That's what we have
what was the denominational question? How can it spread into denominational structures? Yeah. Okay, great. Next team? Your questions or challenges?
We thought about when you grow churches out of subcultures, you often get the criticism from other churches that it's not biblical with subcultural churches, that it should be a multicultural church because the kingdom of God is multiple. So just what do you think about that and how to answer that criticism and what the ups and downs are with subculture churches and what are the
niche churches. Okay, did everybody hear that question? Yeah, great. Okay, next team.
How do we see more people coming into the kingdom of God in our context, and how do we see them grow as disciples?
Okay, great. Did everyone hear? I'm just wondering whether I need to repeat, or can everybody hear on this side?
It'd be good to repeat.
So more people coming into the kingdom of God in our context, and how they grow. Is that what you said? Great. This team?
I think it's the same question that is sometimes of how you know it is like this and want to do it and
how to do house church, simple church and grow in that area. Was there another team there, or you're all part of one team? Okay, great. This team?
How to develop leadership in the house church.
Great. Okay. Next team? Okay, how does it apply in the youth context? How does discipleship process work? Okay, next team.
Yeah, we were thinking last time you were here, you were half a year younger as a movement. Now, what's been happening in these last 6 months?
Okay, what's been happening since the last time? So I came here in February or March this year. Well, it seems ages ago. What has been happening? Was there another team here, or have we covered everybody now? There's another table back there. Yeah. Okay, so how do we move beyond de-church? So people who've been in church returning to going into the harvest of people who are not churched at all,
yeah.
That were not Christians at all. Yeah. Okay. Have we covered everybody? Great. Well, that's good. When we was in Helsingborg, there was about 5 times that amount of questions. So this is going to be easier, maybe, I don't know. Great, so, let's begin to look at some of these things. And most of the time we're going to be looking at these things in groups through discovery process, so going through the scriptures and looking at what the scriptures say, but also looking at how these things might apply into your context. In between, I'll share some stories, or maybe we'll get to share other stories as well. And sometimes we'll show some videos. This is supposed to be a relaxed kind of time. We'll have breaks in between. If you want to get a drink or anything, then that's fine. We should aim to finish at 9:30 tonight. Tomorrow will be a very thorough day. Tonight's more like an introduction, and it gives you an opportunity to opt out if you don't want to come tomorrow, which is important. But tomorrow we'll be digging a lot more into the ideas, and will actually be quite a lot of input and a lot of content. Sunday, hopefully, will be a bit more time to reflect on what we've discovered on Saturday and really look into what will we do about it in our context. If we don't start to do some of these ideas in the next 2 weeks to a month, the likelihood is that we won't do it at all. So it is we're really looking at how we can practicalize this stuff, how we can learn from Scripture, learn from God, and do it, not just discuss it and talk about it. Because we really learn after we've done it, not just when we've kind of, you know, thought about it. So one of the ways that we start on the first night is by looking at the idea of kingdom. So I'm going to see if this works. Is it working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. One of the interesting things that happens, so we went to the Bible college yesterday, and last month I was at another Bible college in Germany, and when we asked the first question, what would people like to explore? None of you asked this question, actually, but usually in the Bible school setting I found that the first question is, which is better, big church or small church? That kind of question. Which is better, big church or simple church? Like those kind of ideas. And what I've begun to think is that actually what's important is a bigger question than that, which is, who is the king and what is the kingdom and how does the kingdom spread? You see, one of the questions that I sometimes ask is, which is a better thing? A simple church that doesn't make disciples and a established church that does, etc. So it's not just about moving structural, moving from a building to a sofa, or moving from a thimble of wine to having nice wine in a restaurant. The issue is, what is the DNA? What is the motivation? What's the big picture? So we're going to dig into this now. So in front of you, you should have these worksheets that Rick Harden has spent a number of hours printing out, so thank you guys. And on the front page is the page that says Kingdom. discover kingdom. Have you all got that? So, Charles, if you give each team one of those scriptures to look at, and what we'll do is, if you look at these scriptures in your groups that you're in, and the main question is, what does this tell us about how the kingdom spreads? And then we'll report back in about 3 to 5 minutes maximum, because they're quite short passages. There's less teams. That's good. It's better.
Welcome to New Jazz 95. I have put some fall in jazz. As we have come to this season of the year, I selected songs that have something to do with autumn.
But we're going to finish it in 1 minute.
We'll hear tracks by Chet Baker, Jeff Deneva and Jose James, Cannonball Adderley, Art Farmer, Billie Holiday, Miles Davis and more. And the first song is by Woody Herman and his orchestra.
Thank you.
Okay, so if you have somebody from your group ready to report back, I'm not going to call on everybody though. It depends on how long it takes. We just want to find some of the key kind of points that we can take and kind of learn and put into practice during the weekend. So the question is, what does this tell us about the kingdom and how it spreads? So if each team begins with one person reporting back, and if you give the scripture reference and maybe say something like, this is the parable about, but you don't need to read the whole scripture because people have got the scripture references and you can look it up yourselves. Okay, so let's begin with this team.
So we have to focus as much on making good soil and preparing good soil as spreading the word. So how do you do that? We don't really have a question, an answer for that, but yes, how can we prepare the soil so that when we spread the word, it sticks with them?
And also, how do we find the soil if you have to put it on the right places?
Yeah, great. Everyone hearing this quite clearly? So the parts that they've drew out of this passage is that there's only a quarter or one-fourth that was described as good soil. So how do we find the good soil and prepare that soil? What was the seed in this passage? Did you notice?
Yeah, it was the message about the king.
Yeah, great. So the message about the kingdom, or the word about the kingdom, or the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of our church, not the gospel of come and sit on mummy's knee and let us stroke your hair and tell you how life's going to be better, and not even the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. So it's important that we sow the right seed. If we want an apple tree, we don't get an apple tree by sowing some pear seeds. So what kind of thing does God want to see? And the seed is the gospel of the kingdom. So if you plant that seed, then you'll get kingdom results from that seed. If it's on the right soil, though, not if it's not on the right soil. So what does the soils represent?
The all four of them.
Yes. Well, the basics of the all, if you take all four together, what is it? What's the soils represented?
People's hearts.
Yeah, people's hearts, people's responsiveness. So there's four soils, but only one of them is good soil. Now, there's a number of things that we've picked out from this passage that we have felt is important. One is that there has to be sowers. Which is normally the thing that is picked out from this passage. In fact, some Bibles say that this parable is the parable of the sower. Another thing is the seed. So there has to be seed that is sown, and the seed is the gospel of the kingdom or word of the kingdom. And the third thing is that there's soil, and we need to assess what is the responsiveness of people. Are they good soil, or are they the other types of soil? And also, actually, there's some other things, but we'll come to that later. So in terms of the soil, there is a type of soil that hears the message of the kingdom, but straight away it doesn't go in. The birds come and snatch it away straight away. And the next kind of soil, it goes into the soil, but the soil is shallow and it's rocky underneath. So these people receive the message of the kingdom, but as soon as difficulties come or hardships come or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away and they shrivel up. They don't have any deep roots. And the next type of soil are people who hear the message of the kingdom and they think it's great, but they are distracted by other things, deceitfulness of wealth, the pleasures of this life, and desires for other things. And so the word is choked. So one of the questions that we ask ourselves, and I ask myself, is which soil am I currently with the messages that I'm hearing from God or receiving from his word? Am I the one that says I'm too busy to do anything? Am I the one that's joyful, but when it comes to some kind of sacrifice or cost in my life, that I actually don't do anything about it? And with the people that we're sowing the seed amongst, what kind of soil are they? How are they responding to the message? So one, are we sowing the seed of the kingdom? Or are we sowing a different kind of message when we're discipling people or meeting people? What is their response to it? Have they even heard? Or, you know, sometimes when we read the Bible and we switch off, how do we make sure that the word is actually going in, that people can hear it? How do we make sure that people understand it? So they understand the implications of it, that it's not just fair weather, good message time, that when everything's fine, we'll kind of respond to the word and obey it, and when things are not fine, we won't. And that there's a call to actually abandon other things that get in the way of putting into practice the word of the kingdom. And actually, you know, how are we going to focus on doing the things that God says, not just hearing it and thinking that we've achieved it because we've heard it? So, yeah, let's move on to the next team. Was there anything else that you had from that? Okay, let's move on to the next team. What was your passage?
Yeah, we're reading the one about the mustard seed, the parable of the mustard seed. And we saw that the mustard seed is very small. And he says the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed. And it grows, and eventually it's so big so that the birds can build their nests.
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things that, based on what you said there, is that it starts small, but it spreads. And this is one of the principles of the kingdom. It starts small and spreads, which it can do if we plant the right seed on the right soil. The last passage from the last team says that the good soil is defined by a harvest that is 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times that which was sown. So notice that Jesus, it doesn't say the good soil are just those who hear and obey themselves, but it's those who hear and obey and enable other people to do so also. If I just receive the word and do it, that isn't good soil. Because by definition, Jesus said the good soil is 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. He was a master storyteller, so he could have just said, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that goes into soil and it produces one plant. It's not an accident that he said 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. So there has to be an aspect of passing on or paying forward or sharing that qualifies something as good soil. So the kingdom of heaven is like multiplication of plants. In fact, when we sow a seed, we're not just looking for a plant and we're not just looking for a tree. We're looking for an orchard, a forest. We're looking for a movement, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. So this is how the kingdom starts small and spreads, because you sow it into the heart of somebody, they hear it, they obey it, and they pass it on. And then it becomes from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32, etc. If it's planted on the right soil. Let's look at the next passage. Yes.
Done, you cannot separate it again. It's like transforming and mixing.
Yeah, the kingdom, what can we learn about the kingdom is that it's a transformative agent. It's a catalytic agent that changes things. And when we sow the seed of the kingdom into people's lives who are responsive and put it into practice, this is like yeast that transforms people's lives and then goes through the whole batch of that tribe of people and into the spheres of society. If we sow the right seed on the right soil with the right responsiveness. So it starts small and spreads, works its way through the whole batch of dough. Next team story. Great, so this is another story of seeds and fields. What is the seed in this passage? Did you notice? Okay, so the seed in the last passage was the gospel of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom. In this passage, the seed, I didn't give you the right part. There's the passage, and then there's the interpretation of the passage. But the interpretation is that the seed is the citizens of the kingdom, or the sons and daughters of the kingdom, which is interesting. So there's two different seeds. I didn't see this until recently, well, in the last maybe 2 or 3 years ago, no, a bit before that. But I was growing up in churches, I never saw that. So this is the word of the kingdom, and this is the citizens of the kingdom. So two types of seeds. So what I've come to believe is this, that it says, who is the sower in this passage?
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man, yep. And what is the soil or field?
The world.
The world. So this soil is people's hearts. This soil or field is the world. This seed is the word of the kingdom. This is the sons of the kingdom. If we see seeds sown in the right place, we will see multiplication. The question we often ask is, are we citizens of the kingdom? Or just Christians? Are we sons and daughters of the kingdom? Yeah, so where have we been planted then? Because where we have been planted, we've been planted by the Son of Man. So one thing that we ask people is, where are the places and people groups and spheres that you have already been planted by Jesus? The places where you live, work and play, you've been planted there. It's not an accident that you're there. We talk about everybody has been planted in the field of the world. Every kingdom citizen has been planted by God. So what is the purpose of you planted, that you've been planted there? One of the things we said a number of years ago, maybe 7 years ago or so, when I was leading a congregation, was that everybody can plant a church in their home, work or leisure. Now, that's not strictly true. We'll look at later that we talk about planting the seed, not church. But the idea was still there, that actually everybody can begin to be a citizen of the kingdom and to make disciples in the place where they live, work or play. And so it was that awareness that we are seeds planted in the field of the world, and Jesus wants to see 30 times, 60 times, 100 times that which was planted. So when we're planted in our neighbourhood, it's not just us, it could be at least 30 times that which was sown. And who's going to be the person responsible then for the 30 times, if not you? So in your workplace where you've been planted, in your neighbourhood where you've been planted, in the family, in the friendship groups, in your social circles, in your hobby or interest groups, you've been planted. So where are you going to begin to make disciples so that you get to your 30 times, 60 times, 100 times? That's what we're going to be looking at this weekend. Into the field of the world, obviously the enemy also comes and sows. So in this passage, the enemy comes and sows weeds and different things and birds. In this passage, he sows people in the fields of the world. So two types of seed. If we crack that one, then we've cracked the whole puzzle. That there's a need for good seed on good soil. So are we good seed in the fields of good soil in the world? And are we planting the seed of the word into people around us in those spheres and good soil? If we do that and begin to monitor the growth and, you know, weed out where things need to be weeded out, that block movement, then we're on the path to movement. So there's four ways that we've looked at this. Oh, this passage to do with the parable of the sower, Jesus said if we don't understand that parable, we won't understand any of them in Mark 4. So this is why we're focusing on this whole idea of soil and seed quite strongly, that the secrets of the kingdom are contained within these parables. So we want to learn, how does the kingdom spread? How does the kingdom move forward? And those secrets are contained in these stories. And this parable is the most important parable about the seed and the soils. So what is Jesus wanting to say through that? Here are some things that we've been kind of playing with, that there's a need for sowers, there's a need for seed, there's a need for soil. And these are ways that we can begin to test or turn over the soil. We're going to look into this more deeply over the next couple of days, but I'm going to put it up there now so that we've got a reference point. When we meet people that we are going to start the process of making disciples in our home, our work, our neighbourhood, the people groups we've been sent to, the spheres that we're in, by spheres I mean in our workplace, in politics, in media, etc., wherever we've been planted in the field of the world. We've met people and they have said, yes, we would like to learn more about the kingdom, or we'd like to know more about spiritual things, or we'd like to know more about Jesus, or we'd like to discover more about Christianity, or whatever it is, something like this. We begin to sow the seed of the word, which is the gospel of the kingdom, which can be done orally, it can be done using the Bible in this written format, it can be used by downloading the Bible on your phone, some way of sowing the word of God into people's hearts. We ask these four questions when we read the scripture out loud. What does it say? So this is the first one. So we would read a passage of scripture and we'd ask the question, what does it say? The reason why we're doing that is because we want to know that they have heard it, so that it's going in. You know, that parable of the sower is that the word goes on, but it's just going on a hard path. It's not even going into people's hearts. So when people say back to you what the Bible says, you know that they've heard it. Another reason why we ask the question, what does it say, is so that we're helping them to become oral storytellers themselves. We're helping them to put it into their own words. What does it say in your own words? We're helping them to become witnesses that begin to sow the seed elsewhere. We're also asking the question, what does it mean? So what does it say? What does it mean? We're looking to see what level of understanding people have. So we have a group of people and we're reading the Bible together and we say, what does it say? And each person goes around and says in their own words what it says. What does it mean? Each person says their understanding and we have a discussion about it. If people understand the message, the further that that word goes into their understanding, the more it's going down and beginning to have roots. Instead of it just being surface level. So we're trying to turn over this soil that we talked about earlier, the different kinds of heart responses. Now, most churches, including simple churches, including established churches, including mission organisations that I've been involved in the last 30 years or plus, usually stop at these two questions when it comes to Bible talk, or sermons, or group discussion, or home groups, or life groups, or whatever you want to call them. And the problem is that we will only get to the first two soils that Jesus defines not as good soil if we stop at that point. So the next two things are really the catalyst for movement. We're asking the question, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to play this game? How are we going to do it? How are we going to practice it and do it? So we read the scripture, say, what does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do about it? Because Jesus wants not just hearers, but doers of the word. Those who love me obey my commands. So go and make disciples, teaching them to obey, observe my commands. So we're looking for obedience-based discipleship, or as we call it, truth and dare. Do you have this, what's the game called in Swedish?
Sanning or consequence.
Say it again.
Sanning eller sanning or consequence.
Yeah, we play a game called truth and dare. When we discover truth from scripture or from the spirit, we dare each other to do it. So that's how we play this obedience-based game. Truth and dare. But it's still not good soil. People have heard it, they've discussed it, understood it, they are doing it themselves, but it becomes good soil when we ask the question, who are you going to share it with? Who are you going to share this same, not only the story or the word, but the actual process of discovery that you have done with them? It could begin with a story, but I don't think it's enough. I think we want to see a movement catalysts, disciple makers, trainers of others. So four questions when we look at scripture. What does it say? What does it mean? What are we going to do? Who are we going to share it with? So that we fulfill this whole principle of turning over the soil. Because we want to scatter seed broadly to lots of people. That's kind of the witness thing, that's the evangelism, that's the broad sowing. And then we're asking the question, who would like to know more? So the people who we start meeting with, who say they want to know more, if we ask these four questions, we're seeing which soil is most responsive. If you just discuss it, but nobody ever does it, then we don't want to invest more of our time in people who don't want to move forward. We want to invest more time in those who are hearing, obeying, and putting it into practice, sharing it with other people. So this is one way that we can kind of work with God to prepare the soil. Sometimes people look at this passage and say, well, it's the parable of the sower, which means that we just sow and it's up to God. But if that was the point, why does Jesus tell us about the soils? Why doesn't he just say, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went out and sowed seeds. Ba-dum, end of story. It's something that he wants us to know about the soil aspect of it. So that we can be co-workers with him. Okay, let's move on to the next story. Yes. What did you get from that about the kingdom? Yes, so this is something to do with the value of the kingdom, its importance, its weight, its price, its cost, the treasure of it. Are we communicating this or allowing the word to communicate this when we meet the first people that we are witnessing to or making disciples of? Do they understand the value of it and the cost of it? And that comes down to this thing about sowing the seed of the message of the kingdom, which is a broader thing than just, only, I don't know, Jesus loves you, or only come to my church on Sunday. There's a broader kind of value to this kingdom idea. The next story.
The fish will be
Yes. At the end, God will do the separating. The angels will do the separating. This relates also to the parable of the sower, the sowing part, that it's important to sow broadly, you know, to put in a big net to catch lots of fish. Notice it's a big trawler net. It's not just a little rod net. So this is sometimes, highlights the importance of teamwork and networks working together to pull in nets of fish, not just one fish at a time. It's this broad scattering of seed thing. But then in terms of the kingdom as well, it's this that all kinds of people will be caught up in this net. This comes to the niche thing that was talking about earlier, or different tribes of people caught up in the net, not just one type of person. You know, there could be nice middle-class Christians caught up into the net. There could also be Muslim followers of Jesus caught up into the net. There could be punk rockers caught up into the net. There could be Hindus caught up into that net who are becoming disciples of Jesus. There's all kinds of people, not just one type. Next story.
We had a story about the parable about the wedding feast. And the father was throwing a wedding feast for his son, and the invite went out to the guests, and they did not come, but slaughtered the servants. And then the invite went out again broadly, but not everyone responded. And we said about how it is broadly, yeah, like we had said before in his previous text, that the gospel is sown out broadly, but also that not everyone responds. And also about God's holiness, and also there's a faith and judgment here in this text.
Yeah, it's very good. Notice again this whole idea of spreading the message of the kingdom broadly. These things are balanced, aren't they? You know, I've been around a lot of small, simple communities maybe in the last 4 or 5 years. And whilst some of the ideas of disciple making is strong, some of the ideas of broad scattering is not as strong sometimes. Actually, there's a need for both things. There's a need for this broad scattering, this broad invitation being sent out. The other part on the discipleship part is that notice that again in this passage, Jesus is talking about the responsiveness of people. So there's a monitoring. So you're scattering broadly and you're monitoring the response. I sent the invitation out to these people, but these ones didn't want to come. Or this is what they did. So then I sent out again to some more people and this is what they did. I sowed these seeds and this is the kind of soil that happened. I sowed these seeds, these are the kind of soil. We put out a big fish in there and these are the kind of fish that was caught up. There's some kind of reflection on what's going on. There's some kind of reporting back on what's going on. There's some kind of sifting and thinking through who is responding to what part. And then there's, notice something else about this, the urgency. We sent out the invitation to all of the nice people, but none of them came. So now the nice people, but actually the ones who kill us. So they seem nice, but actually deep down they're not. So now we're going to send it to those who seem like they're horrible, but actually won't kill us. What does that mean? You know, we're not seeing much movement in Europe. Well, who are we sending out the invites to? That'll be an interesting question just to wrestle with for the rest of the weekend. Well, we're not seeing much movement in Europe. Well, who are we inviting? Well, we've invited these people, but none of them came. Well, let's send out some more invites then. Pretty quickly, because it's an urgency that my banquet has to be full. You know, it's this thing; it needs to be full. It's not just half full or 3/4 of the way full. Full. So the urgency of the task. Next team. Very good. This is business-like. The Lord expects returns on his investment. Again, this whole multiplication thing. Something is invested, something is sown, and there needs to be a return. And where there's a return, responsibility is given. Is it in this passage to govern cities, or is that in another one? Pardon?
Only to put it
put it to work, right? Yeah, faithfulness. There's another passage that is a similar passage that says that those who are faithful in the talents or finance or the thing that they were given, they were then given authority to run cities. So that's a great thing. So when we are sowing seeds, and when we're given something by God, where we've been put, we've been put as a seed ourselves. The Son has invested us into fields across the world, so he's looking for a return on us. Then when we meet people, we are sowing something into their lives. We are looking for a return on that seed. Whatever we've been given by God, he's looking for a return. So there's this whole kind of principle of investment and multiplication and measuring results and responsiveness to things. Great. Next team. Yeah, so the sign of the end will be that this gospel will be preached to all nations, people groups, and he will come. So one of the questions that we ask is the gospel being preached to all the people in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our city, in our suburb of the city, in our ward or district of the city, in our region, in our nation, in Europe? Is that gospel being preached in all those areas and people groups? Is it being preached amongst young people, elderly people, Sikh people? How far is this seed being scattered? And so where we have been placed, so one of the questions we ask as well during the weekend is, where have we been placed? And how far is the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom, being scattered in our sphere? How many people will hear the gospel this week? In Stockholm, for example. How many people will hear the gospel in my neighborhood in the next year? In the next 2 years? Because to see a harvest, we need to see an abundance of sowing seed. Bearing in mind that only one quarter of that seed will produce fruit anyway, potentially. So if we're only scattering five seeds, and it's only one fourth or whatever, we're only seeing one and a half people. Now, obviously, if we then spend time with that one and a half person, they can then produce 30, 60, 100 times, and they begin to scatter, so that's good. But initially, we need a lot more scattering as well to enter all the different people groups that there isn't a catalytic movement amongst yet. So how many people are hearing the gospel? What would the gospel look like in this people group or place? Okay, let's break for Fika. Come back up.